Turn with me, if you have the Word of God today, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I want to bring you a message this morning, very brief. Somebody say famous last words. On a new identity. A new identity. And I want to do some review from what the Holy Spirit has done in the house the last few weeks. From two Sundays ago through the Partners Conference all the way to Ron Jones' message on hope. The kingdom is at hand in this place. I feel it. I sense it. I see fruit coming. And God is doing a great work in you. I hear testimonies, receive text messages, messages on social media about all that God is doing and what He is saying. And I believe we are on the verge of revival here. And God is up to something. And I am so grateful about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Again, what is the kingdom? It's God's dimension. It's where God reigns. It's where He lives. And the Bible says we can have heaven on earth. Not our will, but His be done. That is the goal, that the kingdom would invade earth, your area, and not only would it invade earth, it would change the earth. It would conform the earth. See, we are to be not conformed, but transformed. But God, His original intention was for us to be ambassadors, for us to be living embodiments of who He is. And so there is a kingdom and there is a king, and His name is Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I remember the great Bishop Patterson preached, "That's my king. That's my king." And let me tell you this morning, that's my king. That's my king. I don't even want to start that or I'll never finish. But he's the king. He is a political leader bigger than the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Libertarian Party. We serve in a theocracy, a God-ruled government. That's what we do. So we as kingdom ambassadors ought to look different, act different. We ought to be a safe place for all people to come. Not just as a church, but as individuals. A place of grace. A house of grace. And if there is a kingdom and there is a king, then we understand and we were taught that earth is a colony. And that God's original intent was to colonize planet Earth, which means to connect Earth to heaven, to connect you to heaven. And those of you who have been born again and have gained entry into the kingdom can connect with God and bring His power, His love, His grace, His prosperity into your situation. We made a promise that we would no longer pray for causes. We'd pray for connection. So ask God to connect His kingdom to your cancer, His kingdom to your body, His kingdom to your mind, His kingdom to your finances, His kingdom to your ministry, His kingdom to your preaching, His kingdom to your teaching, His kingdom to your workplace, His kingdom to your family, His kingdom to your drug problem, His kingdom to your mess. The kingdom. And so if Earth is a colony, then the local church is His embassy. It's His embassy. It's a place where we ought to be able to retreat to find kingdom, to hear kingdom, to worship the King. But it's not a place to stay. Just like an embassy that's in another country is simply a safe place that looks like the homeland, where people that have the same values can come, get what they need to get a touch from heaven or the homeland, and go back to doing what they were called to do, and that's to change the culture around them. So it can't just be about what we do in here. We have to take the kingdom out there. The local church is the embassy, and we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, ambassadors for Christ, which means God has sent us to our places of work, to our homes, to our neighborhoods, to various places to be His light, and to represent the kingdom of God. Now, if we are ambassadors, there is a certain language of the kingdom that only kingdom people can understand. That another day. If there is a language of the kingdom, an embassy, we are ambassadors, then there must be an initiation. I've been studying about initiations, and every culture has an initiation. Religious culture, the gang culture, the Bloods and the Crips, they have an initiation. So if you're going to be a part of a denomination in Christendom, or you're going to even be a part of a gang or a social club, there is always an initiation. An initiation. Initiation is what one must go through, a ritual, in order to be accepted into a culture or a club. So if we have copied this on planet Earth, then there must be an initiation into the kingdom of heaven. The initiation is baptism. Baptism. Baptism is not a Baptist thing. It's a Bible thing. Baptists get associated with baptism because it's in our name and because of John the Baptist. But it is a Bible thing. Why? Because the king modeled it for us. When he was baptized, it was a picture of the Trinity. It was a picture of the Godhead. It was a picture of the kingdom. And he was baptized by a prophet prophesying the kingdom that could recognize him as king. And he wasn't too good. Our Savior wasn't too good to allow a prophet to guide him under the water. Baptism by immersion is the initiation to the kingdom. And it lends us a new identity. A new identity. So you are no longer the person you used to be. Buried in Christ with baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Powerful. You've been given a new identity. God throughout the scriptures has been given new names. Jacob became Israel. Saul became Paul. Simon of Bar Jonah became Simon Petrus, Simon Peter, and on this rock, I'll build my church. So if God gave the Old Covenant saints and the New Testament saints a new identity, why wouldn't he give his ambassadors, his children, a new identity? It's important. It doesn't get you to heaven, but it represents the fact that you're excited about going there and excited about obeying Jesus and modeling after the example that he gave us. So there is a kingdom identity, an initiation. I love what the Bible says when Jacob was dying. It says that Jacob was lying in bed to die, but when Joseph, when the future walked in, Israel came up. That's told me that you're always going to be wrestling with your old self. What dies is your old self. What dies is your flesh. But your new self is constantly in a state of awakening. Your new self is always risen because that is the spirit of Christ that he put in you. It's a risen spirit, amen? It's a conquering spirit. It's a powerful spirit. It's a never die, never quit spirit. It's a tough spirit. It's a hopeful spirit. Because if your flesh dies, you know where you're going. That's what baptism represents. Baptism can be a ritual that we embrace, number one. Baptism, this initiation of new identity, can be a ritual that we embrace. But it doesn't have to be. It should be a revelation we experience. A kingdom revelation we experience that gives us a new identity. Peter said, Petra, repent, each of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. It can be a ritual to you, and that's okay because it's not what gets you to heaven. But it also can be a revelation that changes your life. It doesn't matter how many times you do it. Every time I go to Israel, I do it. But if it's never been a revelation, then you ought to consider stirring those waters again. so that the king, his kingdom, and his power can be made manifest in your life. It's a symbol and part of obedience. It's part of obedience. We fulfill the concept of God, and it gives those of us who will never hold a microphone like me, who will never preach, who will never get up and make a speech or do something on a stage, it gives you an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life in a public setting to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's your opportunity, maybe for some of you that are shy and who are gifted to be in the background, it may be your one opportunity in your life to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's a kingdom transformation. When the Holy Spirit comes, it says in John 16, he will convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Because of sin, we don't believe him. But because of righteousness, we go to our Father, who forgives us and who clothes us in his righteousness and his anointing. It's powerful. I love the story of the prodigal son. New ring on his finger. Represents prosperity. It was like a credit card. New robe on his back represented the family colors. So everywhere he went, people knew he's from somebody. He represents somebody. He represents power. Do you understand when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you go through this initiation process that when you walk in the community, that's what people are going to say about you? He or she is from somebody. He or she is different. He or she's been initiated into a new kingdom. There's something different about them. They don't act the way they used to act. They talk different. They act different. They speak a different language. They're now attending an embassy that we've never attended before. God is doing something new. God is always in the reconciliation business. He's in the reconciliation business. That's what he wants to do for you. That's what he's trying to do for us. And that was his intention on planet Earth. So it's not just a ritual we endure. It's a revelation we experience. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. If it's a revelation we experience, it's not only a symbol, but it's a key, a kingdom key that unlocks our freedom and our destiny. Somebody say amen. Amen. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism, raised in Christ to live as him. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. It's also a prophetic picture. Because when we come out of that water and we bury our old selves and we are reunited with him through the power of his spirit, the governor of the kingdom, the Holy Ghost, that's also a picture of what Jesus has promised his church. That we're going to be reunited with him. Amen? That should excite you this morning. Our destiny is not a 6-foot hole in the ground. It's not an oven. We've got a promise from a king guided by the governor. It's a revelation that releases faith in you. When you get baptized, you ought to be walking in faith. You ought to be able to speak to mountains. You won't let circumstances defeat you. Now, they'll hit you and they'll get you down, but you can't stay down. Why? Because Israel has to rise up. Jacob was saying to bed, but Israel has to rise up. You can lay there 38 years, but when Jesus says rise, it's time to pick up your bedroll and walk. It's a risen spirit. It should be a revelation you experience. Who should be water baptized? John 3, verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh, somebody say that's me, is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He who has believed and has been baptized, Mark 16, 16, shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. We know the story in Acts chapter 8. Philip baptized the eunuch. Nothing could keep him from being baptized. They found water, they went under, were immersed, and God did it. The scriptures revealed the kingdom. And nothing could stop the eunuch from being baptized. How should we be water baptized? I don't want to offend anybody that's been sprinkled. I think that that's spiritual. But the Bible's pretty clear that it's through immersion. Mark 1 verse 10, immediately coming up out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens opening. You can't come up out of the water unless you've been under the water. Somebody say amen. Sometimes you got to go down before you can get up. It's the principle of life. You'll never go up unless you've been down. God wants to humble you before he can promote you. Acts chapter 8, verse 39. This is what the text says about Philip and the eunuch. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized them. So again, up out of the water, up out of your circumstances, up out of your mess, up out of your past, up out of your junk. God wants to do it. Backward pictures our death, burial. Forward pictures our resurrection moving forward. That's what God wants to do. Who, how about how, and then why? Why should we be water baptized? Because the Bible says to. Because the Bible says to. Because of obedience to God, because we've been given a new identity, we've been initiated into a new kingdom. This is what our text says, Romans 6. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So it's obedience to God, it's identification with Christ through a kingdom initiation, and it's an invitation to our past. We're inviting our past to die. It's an invitation to tell your past, you don't have dominion over me anymore. You don't control me anymore. I'm doing a new thing. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I love that word creation. In fact, that's my favorite scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, because it was one of the first ones I memorized in seminary. And the word creation in the Greek is katistis. It's the process of making something dirty clean. Diabetics go through ketosis. So don't tell me you can lose your salvation like a ring slipping off your finger when you're in process your whole life. I have people ask me all the time, if this person does this, are they saved, Pastor Ronnie? If this person does this, do they? I don't know. I know what the Bible says and the truth of the Bible, but you are asking me to pretend I'm the king and know exactly what's going on in that person's heart. You're trying to ask me if I know what they did on their deathbed, what they prayed right before they took their life. I don't know. I know fruit. I know what the gospel says. They need to be forgiven of their sins and experience grace. But I don't know the condition of a person's heart right before they die. The Bible says that people will come to Jesus saying, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I do your works? Didn't I do your stuff? And he will say, I didn't know you. So it could be that old sinner, old rough person gets jacked up with Jesus and embraces the kingdom the day before they die. And they'll be in mansions and some of these preachers won't be. That's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And it must be embraced. It's an affirmation of your soul and it's an anticipation of your future. You do it to be obedient, so that the body of sin might be done away with in Romans, so that you'd no longer be slaves to sin, so that you'd walk in your new identity because of the kingdom initiation you've experienced. It's the power of God. God put his seal on us. When the Father spoke, that was his affirmation. That was his affirmation. This is my beloved Son. in whom I'm well pleased. Finally, when should we go through this kingdom initiation? Everybody say this with me like you're Pentecostal. Right now. Right now. Right now. Nothing can stop the eunuch from being baptized, and nothing should stop you from being baptized. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to receive the offering. I have a testimony I want to give you about that. I'm going to pray for you before you leave here today. It's early. But if you can, if you don't have to go to work, I want you to celebrate these folks getting baptized. And I want you to agree with me in prayer that if there is anyone under the sound of my voice that needs to get this right, that needs to be initiated into the kingdom of God, that they'll be obedient today. So I want you to stand on your feet. I want you to start praying the way you pray. Start asking God to make you aware of anybody that has a need. Maybe you're to ask somebody in your family if they want to do this today. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's an adult. Maybe it's a teenager. Maybe you're a senior adult and you've been living for God. You're saved. You're a part of the kingdom, but you've never been initiated into the kingdom. You say, man, I'm 82, but I'm going to fix this today. I'm going to make this right. I know it's fall break. People said, don't preach this on fall break. Nobody's going to be there. But God told me to do it. Told Pastor Seth to do it, and that's what we're going to do. So Pastor Angie and Dr. Carol are going to come down first and face you, and I'm going to give you the gospel of the kingdom. First, if you're unsaved, how do you get saved? Nicodemus had to be born again to inherit the kingdom. Jesus told this Pharisee at midnight, you must be born again. How does one be born again, he said? You've got to embrace grace, and you've got to embrace the gospel message of Jesus Christ, which is, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever, that's you and me, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It also says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's simple. Confession, kingdom declaration, confess Jesus is Lord. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But don't get caught up in the religious ritual of the prayer. It's about your heart. You've got to repent, change your mind, and embrace Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you need Jesus Christ in your life, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. You are my King. From now until forevermore, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to run down here. Why do you need to come down front? Because the Bible says, if you will not confess me in front of your friends, I'll not confess you in front of my Father. Don't be ashamed to come down and be baptized. We have clothes for you. God wants to do a new thing. Heavenly Father, send your saints to be initiated into your kingdom that prayed today. Father God, may the waters be stirred like never before this fall break. Do a new thing. Give new identities out today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You come to the altar if you need to be baptized. I have decided.